When he comes in trumpet sound, well, may I then in him be found. You know, some of us have our teams, and especially when it comes to the college teams and stuff, and that's entertainment and it's fun, and maybe your team won yesterday, and I hope they did. But you know, whenever somebody plays, somebody's going to lose. Sometimes your team loses, and we always talk about that. And sometimes you're feeling down, especially if you're a big fan. You just need to remind yourself that those are just games. I mentioned the Larrys that came in this morning. You know, those things are just games. As all that conversation was going on, I said, what we're doing here, this isn't a game. This is about when he comes with trumpet sound, will you be found in him? It's my heart's desire that each one of us might be. And that we love his righteousness and we stand in his righteousness. Subject to salvation is it's a big subject. Many passages we could turn to. This morning I want to turn to Luke chapter 18 and verses 18 through 27. This is a familiar incident in the life of Jesus. It's recorded in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. It says, a certain ruler asked Jesus, saying, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? So Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? There is no one is good but one, and that is God. And I've often stopped here and pause for a moment to make the point that Jesus made here, that we often think of our friends and our neighbors, people that we associate with, as good people. That's really how this ruler was using the term, right? Good teacher is kind of a greeting, kind of getting on the familiar footing with Jesus. He accepts the teachings of Jesus. Good teacher. But we so often define the standard of good down to ourselves. And Jesus takes the standard of good and places it where it belongs. There's only one who is good. That's God. But then he answers the question, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother. And the ruler responded, all these things I have kept from my youth. So when Jesus heard these things, he said, you still lack one thing. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. But when the ruler heard that, he became very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he became very sorrowful, he said, how hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God. For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And those who heard it said, who then can be saved? But he said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Here's a ruler, a rich ruler. He probably had many things that he was very interested in and involved with, but the one question that he had on his mind was, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus told him basically to keep the commandments. And he says, I've kept the commandments from my youth up. And Jesus knew there was something he was lacking. It wasn't the fact that he was rich. It was the fact that he trusted in his riches. rather than trusting in God. He loved God. He revered God. He kept the commandments of God. But his problem was that he trusted in his riches. That's why he didn't want to sell anything to follow Christ. Jesus could see that. He could see into his heart. Jesus wasn't talking about you need to become poor that you might be rich. He was really talking about the fact that you need to realize that you need to be fully trusting in God. He wasn't given the opportunity to explain all of that. For the man went away, sorrowful. What I want to focus on this morning, however, is what those who heard what had been said in this conversation, their question, who then can be saved? How would you answer that question? Who is going to be saved? Are all of your friends going to be saved? Is everyone in your family going to be saved? Are most people going to be saved? Who can be saved? And Jesus said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Who can be saved? Well, with men, it's impossible. You see, it doesn't matter who you say is going to be saved. I heard a conversation, overheard a conversation about, well, what if something happened and a whole group of people were killed, and the person responded, well, everybody in my group would be saved. We'd all be all right. But not everybody in that group believed in God or worshiped God or certainly didn't worship God in spirit and in truth. Hadn't been baptized for the remission of their sins. And yet the person believed that, well, we'd all be saved. Based upon what? Based upon the fact that, well, we're all good people. All of my friends are good people. All of my friends believe in God. All of my friends go to church. So we'd all be okay. We need to recognize that it doesn't matter what we say. It matters what God says. Who can be saved? Well, with men, it's impossible. We can't come up with a way to be saved. All men have sinned. Romans 3 and verse 23, we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23 tells us that the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The wages of sin is death. What does that mean? It means we're separated from God because of our sin. Now, we don't recognize that we're separated from God, do we? Because we still abide in the general blessings of God. God sends the sunshine on good people and bad people. God sends the rain on good people and bad people. The general blessings of life are enjoyed by the evil and the good. And so you might be separated from God because you've sinned. If you have sinned, you are separated from God. But you don't realize that you're separated from God because you're healthy and the sun's shining and you're happy and all of those things. Every good and perfect gift, you participate in all of the general blessings of God. But God says the time when we are separated from Him, God is light. If we're separated from God, we'll be found in a place of darkness, outer darkness. God is peace and comfort. If we are separated from God, there will be no comfort at all. Not even a moment of comfort. Not even a drop of water for our parched tongue. All of those descriptions of torment that God has given to us. Because we have sinned and separated ourselves from God. Man does not have the solution to their sin. We can pay the price for our sin and be separated from God in eternity. But I don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. And God doesn't want us to do that. In Jeremiah 10 and verse 23, Jeremiah expressed, "O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. I don't even know how to live my life. I don't know why I'm here and what I'm supposed to be doing. I certainly don't know how to save myself. The way of man is not in himself. It's not instinctively in us. Like you send the animals and the birds and the fish. They instinctively know what they're supposed to do and they do it. We don't know why we're here, what we're supposed to be doing." In Proverbs, Solomon said, "A man's steps are of the Lord. How then can a man understand his own way?" Certainly I can't think like God thinks. But God tells me and teaches me His will in His Word. Who can be saved? With men it's impossible. We can pay the price for our sins, but we'll be lost, not saved. So as we come back to our text, Jesus said, "But the things which are impossible with men are possible in God. With God, our salvation is made possible." He provides the sacrifice to pay the price for the sinner's sins. You're familiar with the words of John the Baptist in John 1 and verse 29. When John saw Jesus coming toward him, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." And then a little bit later in verse 34, John said, "I have seen and I have testified that this is the Son of God. He is the Lamb of God, sent here to take away the sins of the world." God has sent Him and He has come to provide salvation for mankind. In Romans chapter 5, the first two verses read, "We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into His grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God." Peace with God comes through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's through Him that we have access to God. How? Through faith. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. Faith is doing what we read in God's Word. And when we do what God tells us to do, we have access to Him, into this grace, this favor of God, of salvation, wherein we stand. Because we walk in faith. And He says we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And drop down to verse 6, He says, "For when we were still without strength," we can't save ourselves. "When we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For a righteous man one will die. Yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love towards us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him," through Christ. Who can be saved? God's made it possible for us to be saved in His Son, Jesus Christ. He paid the price for our sin. What's the price for our sin? Death. And Jesus died when there was no cause of death in Him. He paid the price for our sin. We are justified by His blood. We are saved from the wrath of God through Christ. How much do you owe God? How much do we appreciate what we're reading here? And you realize, and I realize, there are many, many, many other passages we can point to and talk about this wonderful sacrifice of Christ that He made on our behalf to pay the price. The wages of sin is death. He paid that price for your sin, for my sin. Christ died, the godly for the ungodly. With God, our salvation is made possible in Jesus Christ for all sinners who will believe. In John 5 and verse 24, Jesus said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death into life." You are separated from God because of your sin. But if you hear my word and believe in him who sent me, you pass from death to life. In verse 24 of John chapter 8, he says, "I said to you that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins." So you might be sitting here this morning and saying, "Well, okay, I'm all right. Because I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe in God. I believe in the Word of God." What does it mean to believe? You know, in James chapter 2, it says, "You believe there is one God? You do well. The demons also believe and tremble." When Jesus talks about believing in Him, He's not just talking about the fact that we acknowledge that He is the Son of God, that we know in our heart that He is the Son of God. The demons believe that too, but they do not serve Him. If you believe in Jesus, but you're not serving Him, you're no better than the demons. Your spiritual condition is exactly the same as the demons. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13, the overall purpose of everyone's life for being here on the planet Earth is stated right here. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, or revere God, and keep His commandments. This is man's all. This is why you are here. This is why you are living. To revere God and keep His commandments. Not just know His commandments, but keep His commandments. If you don't revere God, you won't keep His commandments. But if you truly revere God, you will both know and keep His commandments. And so we can turn over here to Matthew chapter 21, or Matthew chapter 7, as Jesus is concluding the Sermon on the Mount. And He says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." So, are all of my friends who I think are good people, who believe that Jesus is the Son of God, who maybe worship God once in a while or maybe all the time, but not in accordance to the one faith? Those who say, "Lord, Lord," not everyone who says to me, "Lord, Lord," will enter the kingdom of heaven. The ones who will enter the kingdom of heaven are those who do the will of my Father who is in heaven. How do we know what His will is? Well, He's revealed it to us right here in His Word. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in Your name and cast out demons in Your name and done many wonders in Your name? You know who we are. We were baptized for the remission of our sins. We worshiped You and as we thought that we should have. Now, we weren't perfect. In fact, we often said to each other, we're not perfect, but nobody's perfect. Everybody has their problems. So did you just dismiss your problems? I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. See, it's not just a problem. It's lawlessness. It's acting outside the law of Christ rather than within the law of Christ. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, not just hear it, know it, memorize it, meditate on it. No, it's hear it and do it. Whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on a rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on a rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them. I know what the Word of God says. I know what God tells me to do to be saved, but I haven't done it yet. Everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be likened unto a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. That means it fell into complete and utter ruin. Couldn't be put back together again. So we must believe. That means to believe, obey, to do His will, to trust Him and to obey Him. That's what it means to believe. And then we must repent. Jesus said in Luke chapter 13, verse 3 and 5, I tell you, unless you repent, you will perish. Unless you turn from trusting in yourself to trusting in me, unless you turn from your sin to walk in my righteousness, you will perish. God doesn't want us to perish. That's why He provided a Savior for us. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 2 Peter chapter 3. We are to confess Christ. All sinners who will confess Christ will enter into that salvation that Christ has made possible. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32 says, whoever confesses me before men, I will confess before my Father who is in heaven. Say, well, you see, I'm a little bit better than the demons right there. The demons believe in Jesus, but they won't confess Him. At least I'll confess that I believe in Jesus. Romans 10 and verse 10 says, with the heart one believes unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Do you see how that each of these, with the heart, as the heart is instructed in the way of righteousness, then we grow into the practice of righteousness? Do you see what he's saying there? With the heart one believes unto righteousness. Now I might believe, I know and I believe what righteousness is in my heart, but it's not righteousness for me until I practice righteousness. You see, it's unto righteousness. It's unto the practice of righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. So we're building up to something, aren't we? We're building up to baptism. In fact, I didn't include this in here, but turn in your Bibles over to Romans chapter 10, where we just were. Romans chapter 10. Because there are so many in the religious world today who profess faith in Christ and the grace of God and the love of God and all of those things, and there are those now who are translating and offer different versions of the Bible who have corrupted verse 10, who say that with the mouth or with confession one is saved. When you confess Christ, you are saved. That's not what the text says. It's not what the text says. It's not what the Greek text says. You bring out any interlinear Bible of the original language, and it's clear, even to a novice, that that's not what the text says. It is unto salvation. Well, when does salvation take place? Drop down to verse 13. For whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's what Joel prophesied. That's what Peter reminded the people of on the day of Pentecost. And then he explained to them who the Lord is. The Lord is Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God, who died for our sins. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? They're going to have to be taught who the Lord is. How shall they believe on him in whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a teacher? How shall they preach? Except they be sent, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Now look at verse 16. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. They might have, maybe they have or have not heard. Maybe they've heard, maybe they believe. But they haven't obeyed. What about you? Have you heard and you believe that salvation is in Jesus Christ, but you haven't obeyed the good news that we're talking about here this morning? Who can be saved? Well, I can't save myself. But whoever is in Christ Jesus can be saved. Whoever obeys the gospel is going to be saved. So, Romans chapter 6 and verse 3 says, do you not know that to as many of us as are baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Why did He die? He died to take away sins. Why are you baptized? To have your sins washed away. You see that? To be separated from your sins. If you're baptized into Christ, you're baptized into His death. The purpose of His death, to take away sins. Galatians 3:27, as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. You're not living for yourself anymore. You're living for Christ. It's not about you being seen, so forget all these selfie stuff. Okay? Because it's not about self. It's about Christ. If you've been baptized into Christ, you put on Christ. And you and your evil desires and your lust of the flesh and lust of the eyes and the pride of life, you've put that away. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Remember Joel said, Peter said what Joel said, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then he convinced them, that same Jesus who you have crucified is both Lord and Christ. And when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. And they said, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's what baptism is for. It's for the remission of sins. Baptized into Christ for the remission of sins. Separated from your sins and rise to walk with Him. In newness of life. In Mark 16 and verses 15 and 16, as Jesus gave the commission to the apostles, He said to them, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. Who can be saved? whosoever will can be saved. Whosoever will lay aside trusting in themselves, lay aside the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, lay aside their sin, dedicate their life to living according to the will of God, recognize the sacrifice of Jesus Christ was paid for their sin so that they might be free from their sin. They believe that. They trust it. They're going to obey it. They're going to continue to turn from their sin. They're going to continue to confess Christ, that they live for Christ. Yes, they're going to be baptized for the remission of their sins, but that's just the beginning. They will continue then to abide in Him by abiding in His Word. John 8, verses 31 through 32, Jesus said to those Jews who believed Him, "Do you believe Jesus? If you abide in My Word," that means live in My Word, "you are My disciples indeed." What if I'm living in something different than His Word? I'm not His disciple. "But if you abide in My Word, you are My disciples indeed, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." Abide in His Word, and we will abide in Him, and He will abide in us. A familiar verse that we have in John chapter 14, verse 15 says, Jesus said, "If you love Me, keep My commandments." Not know My commandments, not believe My commandments, keep My commandments. Verse 21, "He who has My commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves Me." Jesus is saying, don't tell me you love Me if you're not keeping My commandments. "He who has My commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves Me. He who loves Me will be loved by My Father, and I will love him and manifest Myself to him," make Myself known to him. The way that we come to know Jesus is by abiding in His Word. Now we drop down to verse 23. "If anyone loves Me, he will keep My Word. And My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home in Him." Do you want God to live in you? Do you want God to live in you? I'll sign up for that. Because one day I want to live with Him where He is. Well, how do I do that? How does God come to live in me? "If anyone loves Me, he will keep My Word." Not know it, not just know it, not just believe it. He will keep it. And if I keep His Word, then what happens? I honor Him and glorify Him. I'm doing what He wants me to do. Back up there for a second. Who can be saved? You can be saved. You can be saved. Because God made it possible in His Son, Jesus Christ. And He's revealed how we can be saved in Christ Jesus all right here in this book we call the Bible. So read it, study it, know it, practice it, and be saved. If you haven't been baptized for the remission of your sins, but you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you don't want to sin anymore, you would tell anybody that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, but you haven't been baptized for the remission of your sins, that is totally illogical to me. You need to obey Christ today. If you're here today and you're a child of God, and you've been baptized for the remission of your sins, but you fail to abide in His Word. "Well, I'm a Christian, so it's okay if I sin. I've got this problem or that problem." It's not a problem, it's lawlessness. It's a sin, it's a transgression of the will of God. And unless we're willing to face it and turn from it, we're just fooling ourselves if we think we're abiding in the favor of God. We need to hate sin. We need to love righteousness and live for it. Who can be saved? You can be saved. Will you be saved this morning? Will you come as we stand and sing this song?
Live for Jesus, oh my brother, His disciple.